FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers and welcome to this week's This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. On this week's show, we'll be bringing you all the build-up and reaction to FC United's crucial league match at Morpeth Town from Saturday. And later we'll be hearing if the women's team could take three important points against Norton and Stockton Ancients. But before that, it's to the Phoenix Trophy. And on Wednesday night, FC United made it three wins from three in Group B with a 3-1 win in Milan against Brera.
So, Renault, finished 3-1. Scoreline was a lot closer than a lot of people were expecting.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to the manager. They brought a few new lads in, a few changes, which was great. And it was going to be a competitive game, and that's what we want. And that's no disrespect to the, you know, the other fixtures that we played. But we wanted a competitive game. We wanted to, you know, we want to finish the season strong. And Brera certainly gave us that, you know, difficult fixture. And you know, we had to be our best and come from 1-0 behind. But I thought at times we were brilliant. Gives us opportunities to rest and rotate lads tonight, and a lot of people who haven't had many minutes have played. So yeah, really chuffed with the scoreline.
Was there any specific thinking? We obviously started with a 3-4-3. Any specific thinking behind that?
Just we've been working on it. You know, it's something that we might look to adopt next season. You know, when you've got, you know, like Chris Taylor, you know, he's not getting any younger, but a very good player, and he can happily slide into the middle three. But we know we've got a strength at the back, so we work on it in training. So I just wanted to look at it tonight, and we did it in Europe as well last time we went. So yeah, no, really pleased with the result.
And any sort of, that we know, though, you don't like singling out players, but any particular performances or any area of the pitch that you were pleased with?
I was pleased with Ryan Hamer in nets. I thought Harry McGee was exceptional, and people have seen how good a player he's going to be for us. But it was nice to see Chris Taylor, your Joe Duckwiths, your George Sikoras, Josh Galloway's, who haven't had a lot of football, and you know, they've stuck by us, and they want to play for this football club, which is great. So no, not singling anybody out. We've had a really, you know, we've had a really good day. We're going to have a few drinks now, but I will finish it on this, Tim. I don't want to repeat myself, but I thought Poland was good. I can literally handle my heart. So I've never experienced anything like I've just seen tonight. I've just said to the lads in there, I've got the staff, I've got the players all around the bubble, and I said, wherever your career is taking you, wherever it will take you, whether you're a member of staff or you're a player or you're a supporter, cherish what you've just seen tonight, because that was incredible. And in such difficult times, you know, that many fans come out to support us, and we'll probably go and do it again on Saturday at Morpeth. What a special club, what a special set of fans. And I shouted thank you twice to the fans at the end. And, you know, I genuinely mean that. It's an amazing club, and I want to be here for years. And them lads are just going to know, they can't believe it. So, you know, really chuffed. Hope everyone has a safe journey home. Let's go and have a few drinks, and we'll take it from there.
Move on to Morpeth on Saturday.
Move on to Morpeth Saturday.
It seems a million miles away, does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But, you know, it's going to be a tough game. But let's go and enjoy Milan tonight. And, you know, we'll get ourselves home tomorrow, and we'll get ready for Saturday.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds there speaking to Tim after that 3-1 win over Brera on Wednesday. From Milan to Morpeth now, and on Saturday, FC United travelled to the northeast, knowing that only a win would do in keeping the Reds in the playoff hunt. To hear how FC got on in this one, it's over to FC Live.
So, hello everybody, and welcome to FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCody.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. And you join us here, well, in surroundings which are only matched by centre parks. And we're here at Morpeth Town. And it's a delightful setting. And with me, it's Mr. Delightful himself.
Hey,
Woodsall's with us. Hello. How was Milan, firstly?
Tiring. We all went for, like, overnight, and I'm not doing a 24-hour one again.
But it was a good trip. Very good trip.
Decent outing as well for FC. It was a bit more competitive than we were expecting, I think.
I didn't think we were particularly great, especially that first half.
Second half, it was a bit of a non-event. It's all about getting a result at that, you know, that stage of a competition. And, you know, we only need a draw, which we should be getting at least at home to be guaranteed that final spot. So, yeah, I mean, you know, but I think the good thing as well, I suppose, is you've got a young keeper who made his debut and played 90 minutes. Chris Taylor got 90 minutes under his belt in a strange place, in a strange formation. I think Disicora played the full 90. There's a few players who haven't been... McGee... So there's been a few players who didn't get who haven't been, you know, regularly playing every week or starting, getting run out. So from that point of view, absolutely perfect. You know, like Salini got 45 minutes rest as well. So yeah, I thought it was always worthwhile, aren't they?
So back to league matters today. Oh, yeah. Four games left. Starting here, this is the second part of our chats, which started I think at Nantwich, where I said before Brera, after Brera. And this is the start of after Brera. This is the home straight now. Morpeth had two tricky away games last week. Witten was the last one, and they got beat at Witten. Do we read too much into that, bearing in mind it was back-to-back away trips for them, and then they had to play a team who were fighting for their lives, or have they run out of puff?
I suppose we'll find that out today, because, I mean, Tuesday night from up here down to Witten is not an easy trip for anybody, so... Is that a barometer? I don't know. We can keep another. I mean, you're keeping your Nantwich conversation going. I'm going to keep all the other ones going. Snookers are still in play. The Snookers are still in play. Wanting to win on Tuesday night obviously didn't make it any easier for us. But the situation hasn't changed from what we've been saying the last few games. We just got to keep winning these games and keeping the pressure on other teams. Now, I think if we don't get the 3 points today, I think that's... That probably will be it, but...
Can we just clarify? We're
keep saying this.
We're not just playing this on loop. We are actually recording this in the northeast. We've made the trip. We really have. We're really here. A win today, though.
Depending on the results. But a win today just it keeps it going. And then you've got two games in 3 days next week. Saturday's going to be an interesting one with it being South Shields. And then we've got our perennial favourite away to Ashton, which... usually ends in a one goal win either way, depending on if they score first, that's us lost. That's what it tends to usually be. Let's just concentrate on today, get the 3 points if we can. It's one of your favourite pitches, you know. I heard Shaddy shout to Renault earlier on that it's spongy. Well, I don't know what that means. At one point I thought you were going to have to trail your cable along the pitch. That'd be even more interesting. All the players falling over it. Let's just get the 3 points, go home and see. But I do think if we don't, I mean, especially if all the results go against us and we don't get the three today, then it will be over, obviously. Yeah. If we do lose and results go for us, you've got three to play. We've still got three to play for, and we're potentially still five or six to catch up. So it's looking still unlikely. but until it's gone, it's still possible. So and you know, that's what we're playing for.
Well, Woodzone. I'm looking forward to this afternoon's game. Let's find out what happens.
Welcome to Craig Park. First time we've ever been here, Paul.
Yes.
What do you make of it?
It's a very interesting ground. First thing we have to say, it's another artificial pitch for those at home who wonder. No grass today. It's got some interesting construction around it. There's like a tented area on the far side and a very tiny stand. And we have upgraded from the main stand into a wooden shack, from which it would be brilliant to launch long throws into the box if we had the ball.
We've got a great vantage point. We're basically in the corner, high up. But, I mean, it's a weird setup, this.
It's definitely out of town.
Round the side is obviously tarmacked and they've got the proper modern fencing up and stuff. But everywhere else, it's kind of like... It reminds me of like a rugby union ground.
Yeah.
A lower league rugby union ground where they've got the marquee over there, a temporary stand and stuff. But it's a club on a journey, isn't it? Very much...
Certainly every week they're on a journey.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is a long way to come.
It is. It's the furthest north we've ever played a league game. It's 5 miles further than Blyth, for those people who've been to Blyth. And... we've waited 3 years for this match since we went back into the NPL, and we played them twice at home, winning 4-2 and 3-0, but never come here before.
And for Morpeth, they were beaten on Tuesday night. They are a fellow playoff chaser like ourselves. I mean, we had a chat with Woodso about how much of it is a tall ask, because Warrington won on Tuesday night. But Neil made the point, Witten, from Morpeth to Witten, it actually takes longer than it did for us to go to Milan. I mean, what do you think of the mood after Wednesday, because it was, when we went to Poland, it was handy. It kind of broke up the stress of the mundane of the season.
Well, you'd like to think that the team bonding that went on will bear fruit, that Renault's probably mentioned in his interview. It's a difficult one today because both sides have scored 63 goals this season, so they're very much on a par. There's only a point between them, so it points to a very tight game in some ways.
The other thing we have to say is they're very competitive,
yes.
Let's put it that way, and combative.
I think if FC are going to get anything out of the game this afternoon...
We've got to take a step back.
We're going to have to be competitive ourselves, but in the right way.
Yeah.
If you come here with a shrinking violet mentality, you're going to get hammered.
But then again, I think the right way to do is just play your own game and just watch.
And watch it unravel,
if that's possible. But more prefer a quality side. They've had a good FA Trophy run. They've had a decent cup runs this year.
Yeah.
They've had some good, big clubs turn up here, and they've come a cropper. So they're no mugs, Paul.
No, especially on this surface. They're very used to this pitch, and we have to adapt very quickly to it. We've been told it's a bit spongy, was the word?
Yeah, that was Chaddy's...
That was the technical term.
Yeah, that was Chaddy's technical term. It's spongy.
I know they watered it quite steadily pre-kick-off, so... it looks like, it's a beautifully sunny day here, we have to say. It's fairly warm. It's not as cold as we expected. We were thinking it could be like Siberian at one point, but it's quite nice in the sun.
Yeah. When it comes to the actual playoff race itself, Paul, and where we are, because ourselves and Morp are very much in this playoff race at the moment, but I think it goes as far as 11th with Lancaster. These teams, ourselves, Lancaster, Morpeth, Stafford Rangers, Bamber Bridge, can't really afford to lose any of the four games coming up. Not even draw. We have to win all four, don't we?
This is pretty much an eliminator today for one of these sides, I think. So if we lose today, I don't think either of us will carry on saying, well, the playoffs are a possibility or they're in reach, because they're disappearing over the horizon, I'm afraid. The gap is beginning to build up. There is hope that sides above us, some of them may drop points.
Well, two teams go head-to-head this afternoon in the guise of Warrington taking on Stafford Rangers, which, with the way Stafford Rangers perform away from home, could be the opportunity to get it back to 3 points.
A draw there would be nice, I think.
Do you reckon a draw?
If we get 3 points, a draw would be very good for us, I think.
I prefer Warrington to lose all three. Yeah.
Well, okay.
Just because they're 6 points up the road. To peg them back to three would be brilliant. South Shields are hosting Stalybridge Celtic. South Shields at home,
should be a winner.
Yeah, and they're not really in our league this season. Neither Buxton, they're taking on Grantham Town, who've now already been relegated. Here's an interesting one for you. Ashton United hosting Scarborough Athletic. Scarborough being beat last week for the first time in donkey's years.
That Scarborough's record, their form since the new year has been very good, I think, and you'd expect them to bounce back today, to be honest.
Baseford hosting Matlock. Baseford, well, all of a sudden, because of Witten's win midweek against Morpeth, suddenly Baseford need a win just to get themselves away from them.
It's becoming a bit of a crisis game for Baseford today, but...
Matlock's form isn't great.
Matlock's form has been dreadful in the last few weeks, ever since they played us, I think, really. I think Matlock have got serious problems on the run-in.
Hyde United, they'll be taking on Bamber Bridge. Bamber Bridge are the ones who've been in and out, but they're still a most resilient team in the league, I'm going to suggest Bamber Bridge.
And Hyde have pulled themselves clear of
danger. Oh, they're fine, yeah, they're all right. Lancaster City against Witten Albion. I said this on the NPL show this week. I've got a funny feeling about Lancaster because their run-in is not... Famous last words.
Yeah.
But it's not that tricky for them.
And Witten are looking like the other team to be relegated at the moment. Having beaten Morpeth, they really need another 3 points really badly this afternoon. But a bit of a tall order for them, I think.
And Radcliffe are hosting Whitby Town. Whitby Town, obviously, they're the closest to the playoffs at the moment.
And Radcliffe are in a slump, I think. That's right to say.
So there's not too many drop points there. The only one where I'm looking at is potentially Baseford against Matlock. Ashton United against Scarborough is a tricky one for Scarborough, and Warrington against Stafford Rangers. And the fact of the matter is that two teams there go head to head. So that's all well and good, but it all matters here. What happens? We have to do our side of the bargain, don't we?
Yeah.
That's all the permutations this afternoon. Let's go to the team, and he chopped and changed a lot on Wednesday night in Milan. He moved a lot of players around and tried new things.
About six players got a rest.
He's going to go back to basics, I think, this afternoon. What do you make of the starting 11, Paul?
Looks quite attacking today, on and off the bench.
So when it comes to SC United starting 11, it's Lavercombe, Donoghue, Dodd. Centre-back pairing, Morris and Jones. In central midfield, it's Smith, Potts and Ennis. Then on the wings, it's Wadika and Askew and Linney up front. That's possibly, barring a couple of players maybe, you could argue in the central midfield area, that's the best lineup, isn't it, at the moment?
I think it's the best lineup he's got available, I would say. Whether it's good enough to win at Morpeth, tough ask today. A side that have won 11 out of 19 at home, only lost three.
It's games like this one where I wish we had Doyle back, because it would be a game where you'd want Jones in central midfield.
Yeah.
And that means that there's a big reliance, I think, on Smith. I think Smith actually scored against Morpeth, if memory serves, in the reverse game.
I think our centre-backs are going to be kept very busy heading the ball out this afternoon.
And we should say, that team that we beat 3-0, all credit to Craig Lynch and the coaching staff here, that team was looking like it was going to get relegated, in all fairness. Well, then Craig Lynch comes in to take over as manager, and the trajectory's just been superb.
I think they lost the first three, but they were all aways, if I remember rightly. They had a rejig fixture list. And from that, they picked up and started winning. And they've been hovering around the edges like we have this season, haven't they? They had a lot of games in hand.
Yes.
That they've got through since the new year started. And the Noners are quite a robust side, so they're going to put a lot into this afternoon. And it'll be interesting to see how we cope with that.
So, this is FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Armour. It's a big game this afternoon here at Craig Park. And here's your expert commentary team. It's Stato Paul. But first, it's Mr. James Quinn.
Throw in to them. That levelled the 18-yard line. Also no good turn. Left-footed shot. Crossed over. Great save from Lavercombe. The header was from Foley. Another chance. Yeah! And it's 1-0 Morpeth. And Johnson, the man, the top scorer on the mark there. Well, Lavercombe did brilliantly with the first save, but couldn't do anything about a well-placed shot from Johnson from the left-hand side, even at full stretch. He couldn't keep it out, and Morpeth go into the lead.
They've not really created a lot before the goal, but that was a good attack. They put in a very dangerous cross, and the first shot was repelled, but the second one from AJ... from distance, just flew past Lavercombe into the corner.
So at the 11th minute, and Morpeth Town draw first blood. Potts has it now. Askew plays it back to Ennis. Ennis now out to the left-hand side, finds Dodd. Dodd, and Linney waits! Oh, and great save. Well, Linney, that was a lovely cross from Dodd, and a glancing header. Well, that's just the start FC... want to the second half. That's the closest FC have come to scoring.
That was a great header.
Long ball forward. Baines is beaten to it. And it's cleared. And now Foley.
Onside.
50-50. And Foley's going to score it. Brilliant recovery tackle by Curtis Jones. As Lavercombe. And that was excellent defending from Curtis Jones. It really was. He's complaining to the referee about something. But
I think the offside that wasn't given. But Lavercombe committed himself and... Foley lost out, and it was terrific stuff. It's a corner for Morpeth, which is certainly the lesser of the evils.
Well, if FC do get anything out of this game, then that moment from Curtis Jones will have been a huge contribution to it. But anyway, corner. Ben Sayer, right-hand side. Sayer chips it in. Well met by Potts. Donaldson meets it from outside the box. Donaldson... raids towards the nice ball, and Johnson puts it over the top. They had decent pressure from the defence there, made it difficult for him to nod it down. Galloway plays it back there. The ball is played rather aimlessly into the box, and Morpeth can bring it away, but they lose possession. Aaron Morris has it there, plays it forward to Griffiths. Griffiths gets a bit of a hospital pass there from Morris, and now Foley on the break. Foley now to be one-on-one with Lavercombe. Chips, tries to chip him. Lavercombe stands strong. 1-0, the score remains to Morpeth. Charlie Ennis is trying to galvanise the team for one last effort here in these final 5 minutes. 1-0 FC trail. Morris goes up, heads it forward. Galloway nods it back for Ennis, flicks it forward to Galloway again. Galloway for Linney. Linney in the centre circle now, going forward. It's for Binge. Binge has a chance here. Binge. Oh, and he missed it. Binge took it round the keeper and then just almost played the ball square.
Saved, I think. It's a corner.
Corner ball. But he had a chance. Well, FC have got a corner here. But that was good work from FC. We just have these sparks. Certainly ruin Morpeth's afternoon if FC snatch an equaliser. But it's a corner ball from the right-hand side. 4 minutes to go plus added time. Goal kick. Morris. Oh, Morris makes a mistake. Chance here. The seal it. And it goes wide. They just don't want to seal it. They really don't. It was Stephen Forster there missing out. And that's the final whistle. And that is the final whistle on FC's promotion chase. Morpeth Town prevailed by a goal to nil. And to be honest, it's a scoreline that flatters FC. But FC just had chances towards the end. But in the end, just could not convert and just didn't have the intensity and fits and starts. And, well, congratulations Morpeth, who live to fight another way in the promote. We don't know what's gone on elsewhere, but...
Let's go to the first half. In the it was predictable, the first half, wasn't it, Paul? Because we teed up. We basically said, Morpeth, they contest everything. Yeah. They niggly. Yeah. They get in your face. And we fell into this trap of questioning every decision. The referee was never going to give any of those niggly fouls. So you might as well move on, lads, and get on with it. And we didn't. We were too focused on these.
We got riled.
Yeah.
And that wasn't going to help us anywhere. I think in the second half we got over that a bit.
Yeah, but second half it was a lot more focused, and it needed to be, really. We created some decent chances. There was the header, wasn't the early doors. Bainge had that glorious chance towards the end as well, didn't he?
Yeah, there's a save from the Linney header. We allow people to build up from the back far too easily, and we have to learn to match the other side's pressing. If we don't, we're always going to be on the back foot. We're always going to be chasing a game.
I mean, I've said it already. Morpeth are a quality side. We've seen it this season already. They're very good at home. There is a travel aspect to this. Take the Milan game out of the equation altogether. Travelling up here is tricky. We saw Morpeth do the return trip on Tuesday night and get beat by Witten. So we know it's difficult.
Well, I was talking to a couple of people from Morpeth, involved in Morpeth, and they said that was their explanation for the defeat at Witten. As you know, particularly in midweek, people are working, they're teachers and so on, and all professions like, you know, our club, and they suddenly have to travel all the way to...
Well, throw into the mix as well, on Saturday, Morpeth travelled to Matlock. So they travelled to Matlock, and then, you know, 72 hours later, they're travelling to Witten. So that probably explains the midweek defeat for Morpeth.
Yes, I mean, Morpeth had chances to bury it, and they didn't take them. Interesting, next week, South Shields. South Shields obviously would be looking for... points from that one, so it'd be interesting to see what FC's FC are going to raise the game. What will there be the feeling amongst the side? There'll be nothing to play for next week. I mean, do you want to enlighten us to what's happened?
Yeah, I will. I'll tell you, Scarborough and Warrington have dropped points today, which makes it even worse.
We knew that was coming.
Yeah, that adds to the frustration. Because how many chances
do you want?
Yeah. 1-1 was Warrington against Stafford Rangers. Scarborough drawing 0-0 at Ashton United. Matlock did beat Baysford, though, by a goal to nil. Witten Albion, currently, it's an unconfirmed full-time score, but they're 1-0 up against Lancaster City, which would be a huge result, given the fact Baysford also were beaten. Bamber Bridge, 4-0 up against Hyde United. So, you know, they're coming good right towards the end, aren't they? And Radcliffe beating Whitby Town by 4-3. So, as things stand, it's I think Matlock might be out of sight now for a lot of the playoff chases, with only 9 points remaining. Warrington, 65 points. Scarborough, 65 points. Bamber Bridge, 62 points. Morpeth Town, 60 points. And Whitby are the big losers, apart from us. They've dropped down now to 8th position. FC United in 10th. Stafford Rangers in 9th. Lancaster City in 11th, but the gap now between FC United and Scarborough in that fifth spot
7 points.
So, with 9 points remaining, it's done. It could have been on, but it's done.
There will, of course, be a small group of naysayers about Europe who will say, well, you know...
Well, that's why. I mean, I said it at half-time, because I said to Woodso, I said, I don't think the Phoenix Trophy is a bad idea. I think it's a great idea. I think it's exactly what FC United's about. Mm-hmm. I think it's exactly what FC United should be involved with.
I don't know who fixes the games, the dates, but what I would suggest is if FC are going to be in the Phoenix Trophy again, they should try and get dates where we have a home game after the European game.
But I think the problem is because of COVID restrictions earlier in the season, that's why fixtures have been shunted to probably times that we wouldn't have wanted.
I mean, I know these we're kind of playing catch up with the Phoenix Trophy matches now, but we shouldn't have had. But I do think that we should try and get home games after the Phoenix Trophy if we can.
This performance is not about the Phoenix Trophy.
No.
We've seen this performance before.
And Renault
outside of the Phoenix Trophy week. So
Renault rested six players in Milan.
Yeah.
So you can't just say it's a hangover from the Phoenix Trophy.
Yeah.
I think you can hide behind that, but the reality is,
I'd say don't conflate the two. We played like this before this season without having to.
Yeah, without an away trip to Milan.
So, but another caveat, it is Morpeth away. That's a big caveat.
It's a tough one.
It is a tough one.
It's a really tough game to win this. But if you look at the whole season, we've only won 5 aways. We've got 1 away to come. That's not enough, is it?
Well, we are going to be joined by Neil Reynolds.
Thank you, Neil. Not a performance of great intensity, I would say, from FC this afternoon.
No, but I thought we did enough to get a point. I think the goal we conceded was avoidable. I thought Jones and Morris did well against the number 7, who I thought was really good. And then at the other end, we get 2 big chances, which you don't really get more. Patrigan's header and a Benji. I don't know what's just happened. He's gone around the keeper, and I don't know. I don't know what he's got his head in his hands in there. I don't know how he hasn't scored, and then all the game just petered out, and you know it wasn't to be.
Did you feel that, you know, Morpeth very good? I mean, the player that you mentioned, Foley, was he wouldn't let anybody rest. Did you feel that there's enough of a pressing game from ourselves on this occasion, harrying them in the way that they harried us?
Maybe not, but I thought we got into really good areas, and you know, especially on the right hand side in the second half, and our touches just let us down, our decision making just let us down, and that maybe is a little bit of intensity. I'm definitely not going to make an excuse because we've been away this week. There's a reason why we are where we are in the league, and it's just not 100% fluid and right, and we know that, and we know the targets that we need to get in. But I look at their back four. I thought our back four was good today, but I look at theirs, big brutes, big men. The left back was big, solid, and you know maybe we've got to go that way at times, and you know sacrifice a bit of our attacking flair. But I thought we got a lot of ball in the first half. But I think, like you said, we maybe just slowed it down a little bit. And I think the only one who was really pressing with any intensity in the first half was Ennis, mm-hmm. And probably on his own. So disappointing, but I do think we did enough to come away with a point.
It brings me this FC, quite a small side, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe not always the most vocal side. Is that something you'll be thinking about then as you review the squad over the rest of the season and the coming summer?
It's like we're 25 minutes to go. You know, I shouldn't be going horse on the sidelines. It's still here. It's still for us. You know, we can oppress. It doesn't come from the pitch. And, you know, listen, I've built this squad, and I keep saying it. It's my doing, and, you know, it doesn't come naturally these days. You know, the use of mobile phones doesn't help things when people don't talk to each other. But we need to go and get a big presence. We need to go and get a couple of big voices in that team that don't let people go quiet. And that's no disrespect to the lads that are playing, but it's just not their game. And then maybe they don't have to worry about doing things like that. You know, as I was a player, I'd talk all the way through the game. I wouldn't let people rest and, you know, let the flair players go and grab the headlines. But the talking part of football is key. And there's lots of teams we come up against now that are quiet, but there's other teams that have that, you know, that have that competitive edge, that leader in there, and you know we're missing it. I think we're sadly missing, because I think this game was definitely here for maybe a point, or if not more.
Also frustrating because Scarborough and Warrington both dropped points today.
I've just said to the lads, I said, listen, there's no, I don't even want to see the results anymore because I can't even call them. You know, we've literally just time and again shot ourselves in the foot, and I don't think today wasn't a lack of trying. Today wasn't a lack of trying, a lack of effort. It just wasn't to be, you know. And like I said, you can't come to a Morpeth side who are very good and well drilled, and not take the chances that we created today.
South Shields next week. Obviously, they're right in the thick of the promotion, and you'll be looking to make sure they don't get an easy game, even though our season is effectively over competitively.
Yeah. No, and it is, you know, it is, but it's not over for the lads to want to be here next season, and that's the catalyst. You know, why would you want to go anywhere else? And that's not being arrogant, egotistical by saying that. It's why would you not want to play at Broadhurst Park in front of our fans or play for the club? There'll be a few in that squad that won't play next season, and that's part and parcel of football. You know, that's what it is. And, you know, I don't want to have a side that finishes 8th or 9th in the Northern Premier League. I want a side that go and competes at the top end of the pitch. And we've said it before, you know, we probably haven't got the resources financially at the minute to do that. But I think with a club of the size that we've got, the money doesn't really come into it. And, you know, everybody wants to play for FC United. So it's up to me now and Chaddy and the staff to get the right players, to give us the right ingredients. And, you know, even when we start next season, we're going to start next season. We may have injury suspensions like we've had this season, but it's important that, you know, we always pick up points and we don't become a bit of a soft touch and easy to beat. And I think at times this season, we've become that side that teams can roll over. And, you know, that's me. I'll say that. That's kind of they're my team. But, you know, on the whole, I am proud of them. We've come a long way on this journey. But now it is time to freshen things up. And, you know, the targets are already being identified and even spoken to before next season. So there will be changes. There has to be, fundamentally. But that doesn't mean that any of these lads are not good enough. They are. But just at the minute, we just need a different mix.
And finally, on a more positive note, because we didn't get a chance to talk after the Milan game. How was that for you and the team?
Incredible, surreal experience that I'll be eternally grateful for. You know, I put a message out on Twitter that, you know, when I walked away from headship, it was quite daunting. But Wednesday night was the sole reason why, to see what I saw. And, you know, if I stayed at school, possibly not had the opportunity to go and do that. But what I saw and what I witnessed, and, you know, that support from FC United, you know, that real togetherness and the soul is one. You know, all the buzzwords that go with it. It was spectacular, and the lads will never forget that. And I said that to him on Wednesday. Whether or not you're here, you're not here. That you've lived it now. You know, you can never take that away from you.
And a result that puts FC with 1.5 feet in the final.
Absolutely. We, you know, well, we said we've got nothing to play for. We've got, you know, do we want to be European champions? You know, the Finners Cup. So why not? And, you know, we're going to be the first club to have that opportunity. The first, you know, it's the birth of the competition. We want to win it. There may be some new faces by the time we get to the final, because obviously, you know, they'll be ready for the new season. But no, we've enjoyed the ride. You know, we've enjoyed the ride, and it's a big thanks to everyone that's made it possible. And we'll just get ready for Rimini now. But before Rimini, three big games to South Shields, Ashton and Hyde. And, you know, my plea to the lads, or my challenge to the lads, is can you finish on a high for FC United? And if you're here next season, then great. And if not, then you can walk away with your heads held high and say that you played a really big part for the football club.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon. Next up for the Reds will be that game back at Broadhurst Park against title-chasing South Shields. Kick-off in Manchester this Saturday will be at 3 p.m. Admission will be pay on the gate, £12 for adults, £7 concessions, £3 under-18s, with under-5s free with a paying adult. But remember, if you cannot make this game in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air from 2:30 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. To the women's team now, and on Sunday afternoon, FC United welcomed Norton Stockton Ancients to Broadhurst Park. And to set the scene, let's hand over to Ben and Paul shortly before kick-off.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to Broadhurst Park. It's a Sunday afternoon, and this is Women's Team Live as FC United of Manchester take on Norton and Stockton Ancients. 4 league games left of the season. We haven't had a Women's Team Live in a while due to the fixture scheduling of the league. But what's happened in the meantime, teams around us have been playing games. And as a result of that, Paul, we find ourselves in 10th, which is third relegation place.
I think that other teams playing games and picking up points seems a bit unfair.
It's a bit unfair, isn't it? We are tied with Barnsley, who are in 9th. However, FC United's goal difference is way off. So these next 4 games are huge. Starting today with Nottingham, Stockton Ancients. Then we've got Chorley at home, Leeds United at home, which is a tough test. Finishing things off
at Liverpool Feds. So the final two games are actually against the teams in third and second in the league. So at the minute, Paul, we do appear to be on the back foot. Thoughts?
Okay. I think with four games to go, two wins might change the picture enough for us to stay in this division. I think today is a winnable game. We won 2-0 at Norton in September. Quite comfortably, really. I'm not saying that Norton have not improved since then, and we've certainly not been as good since then. But on the day, I think Norton are beatable, and I think beating Chorley is a possible because we drew there a few weeks back when we played on Merseyside. So I think those two games are winnable. I think the last game at Liverpool Feds is a no-go area. I don't think we've got much of a chance to get anything there, not even a cup of tea.
I'm sure the welcome will be lovely.
I think, yeah. And I think the game against Leeds is probably beyond our compass. They beat us 5-0 earlier in the season, and they're a fairly accomplished side. Having said all that, Norton have gone six games without a win until last week when they won at Leeds. And the week before, Leeds had won at Norton, so they've shared the points out between them. So Norton themselves are not in great form. As you may have noted, they've scored a fair number of goals this season, but they've also conceded a fair number.
Strangely though, so, Paul, their away form is better than their home form.
Yeah, I can't explain that one. I know we won there and lots of others have won there, but they've got to adapt to this pitch. We always say this, they've got to adapt to a big pitch, and Norton's pitch is not as big as this. So let's see how they get on. I suspect that the way we play and the way they play, it's not going to be a goalless draw. I'd be surprised if we went half an hour without a goal in this game.
Sorry, Paul, did you say goals? Let's talk about the main player to watch from a Norton and Stockton Ancients perspective, Bianca Owens, lead top goal scorer.
Although we shut her out in September, I don't know how we did it. looking at our side, there's been a bit of player movement.
Yeah, I mean, this is the story of the season, really, isn't it? I mean, there has been a couple of stalwarts who've been here throughout. Obviously, Chloe Ainsworth in goal this afternoon. Corey Mather at right back. Then I think we've got Emily Marsh and Chelsea Patient. And making a debut today, Lily Smith, who's down as a defender, wearing number 14. Not sure where she plays in the defence, though, but I'm imagining it's left back.
Yeah, possibly. That sounds like a logical development.
Thanks, Paul. Also starting this afternoon, Olivia Smith, Kirsty Chambers, the skipper. Kerry Ogden will be going in midfield alongside Kate O'Gara. Ellie Rigby starts and Ellie Kelly also starts. I'm imagining Olivia Smith will be going up front this afternoon. On the substitutes bench, Ash Hayes, Chelsea Flanagan, Abby Bennett, new goalkeeper Danny Camp and Betty Hall. He's also on the substitutes bench for Norton and Stockton Ancients. It's Chisnell, Coyle, Johnson, Maguire, the captain, Ray, Burton, Tierney, Reid, Owens, Basnett and Millward. Four substitutes from Norton and Stockton Ancients. Hodgson, McEwen, West and Moore. And at this point, I was going to talk about the travelling because me and you went to Morpeth yesterday, so we know how far it all is. Norton's actually closer, isn't it? But the away form of Norton this year proves that they're capable travellers, so that goes out the window.
They must have a very nice team bus. That's all
seen
I can.
It. It's orange. It's nice.
That's all I can think. It must be very very plush inside if they're doing so well on the road. But we went to Morpeth yesterday. It's the furthest north we've ever had a competitive game for FC. And we know if they've come here on the bus this morning, they will need a bit of acclimatisation, I think, because it is a tiring journey.
So if you were doing James Mulvihill's team talk, you'd say, straight out of the blocks, yeah, go for them. Yeah.
And I seem to remember their back four was a bit cumbersome, a bit slow moving. So I think we need to get the ball quickly forward and get support up for the strikers. Obviously, Kirsty is a key player in this game. And we've also got Chelsea Flanagan on the bench, and I think she's going to be an impact player probably in the second half.
Well, we're about to have the coin toss. Kirsty Chambers has obviously, I was going to say, seen all this before, but we actually haven't.
Not a relegation scrap, yeah.
But how crucial is she going to be this afternoon,
well,
do you feel?
Well, she's been playing through injury for a lot of the season, so she's not been the 100% Kirsty, but she's still a major influence on the rest of the side. And when you've got a left foot like Kirsty has, you've always got possibilities in terms of creation and scoring goals from distance.
And I believe the last time we spoke on Women's Team Live, we were singing the praises of the two Ellies, Rigby,
yes,
and Keller, both starting today. The enthusiasm, you saw it, didn't you, in that game a few weeks back. Despite the defeat, they too It's resting on their young shoulders.
We've lost a number of games narrowly this season, from memory, and we need to get back on track this afternoon with a win.
Well, we're about to get this game underway here, so for the podcast listeners, here's all the goals. Over on the far side with Norton. It's to the edge of the box. It's good stuff, this, from the visitors, but FC United get it clear by Smith. Long ball play forward. It breaks to Ogden in midfield. Ogden now can surely play that ball to Kelly. Kelly's onside. Kelly, he's 1-on-1. Kelly! Oh, just puts it wide. But you know what? That was good defending in the end there by, I think it was Coyle, the full-back, who was just
enough to spoil it.
Yeah.
For a great ball.
O'Gara wins another header. Ogden is there, but someone needs to get a foot on the ball, and it's Norton, and that's a good ball forward to Millward. Millward's onside. Good save by Ainsworth. Cracking save. It's not done yet, though. Good ball in. And, that's good goalkeeping for Chloe Ainsworth.
That was a great through ball to Millward. First time, cut out the last player, and Chloe Ainsworth pulled off a terrific save there, coming out of a goal. Keeps the score all square with 34 minutes. I didn't think we'd go this long without a goal, to be honest.
Chambers, dealt with though by Johnson, but Chambers wins it back. Chambers shields the ball, now checks inside with possession for FC United, looking for that diagonal ball towards Kelly. Cleared though, only as far as Marsh inside the centre circle. Square to O'Gara. O'Gara to Chambers. Chambers has got Flanagan out right if she wants her, but Chambers opts instead to go on the left. Shot comes in, just over the bar. 0-0 the score remains, but positive stuff this from FC in this opening stages of the second half, Paul.
I think Chambers only had one thing in mind there when she collected the ball, and that was to drift in field on her left foot and have a go, and it wasn't very far wide.
Goal kick, not the best of goal kicks, cut out by Smith, headed forward by Kelly. Kelly to Flanagan. Flanagan on the edge of the box, rides one challenge, keeps possession, shot comes in, and pretty much the same spot as Chambers' last effort only moments ago, but over the bar. 0-0 the score remains.
But the good thing is the goal attempts are beginning to rack up.
Free kick to FC United. We've had 17 minutes of this second half. It's left of centre, midway inside Norton's half. I have seen Chambers score from this range many moons ago, but I don't think it's possible at this level of the game. So I'm imagining it's just going to be a straightforward ball towards the back end of the penalty area. What do I know? It's a shot. Wide it goes. That would have been dynamite, wouldn't it, if that had gone in?
It certainly would have been unpredictable.
Well, again, Norton with the short goal kick, getting themselves into trouble here. And Chambers there,
lucky there,
very, very lucky. And FC United still pursuing this ball. Here's Flanagan. She's got to get that ball back, if anyone is. Here is Flanagan now on the left. Plays it to Chambers! In off the post! And FC United take the lead. 18 minutes into this second half, and we said Norton were getting themselves into trouble with these goal kicks, and they did it right there, Paul. And it took Chelsea Flanagan to finally make him pay for it.
It took the iron tackling of Chelsea Flanagan to win the ball in a critical position deep in the Norton half, and her cross found Chambers. Chambers waved the left foot at it and found the inside of the post and in. And that's exactly what FC were looking for early in the second half.
Nice ball to find Ogden inside the centre circle. Finds Chambers this time. Chambers just behind Hayes. Hayes gets it back. Gets it to Ogden. Gets it to Chambers. Chambers angles tight. Shot comes in. Good defending. But Chambers gets the ball back. Out on the far side. Under pressure from the fullback Coyle. Chambers to Flanagan. Here's Ogden. Back to Flanagan. Back to Ogden. Intricate stuff from FC United on the edge of the penalty area. The ball breaks to O'Gara. Oh, wide. But the applause speaks for itself. That was good.
Yeah, we strung passes together there and looked dangerous. And that's the best place to defend the goal lead.
Goal kicked to Norton and Stockton Ancients. Taken. Flanagan flicks the ball on. It's now into Essie's house. Hodgson with a great touch there to take the ball forward. Mavis in front of her. Hodgson still with the ball. Straight at the goalkeeper. But that would have been... That first touch from Hodgson was sensational. But it was good defending from Mava. We're into the second minute of added time here. Ainsworth clears it. Good clearance.
Flanagan, well brought down, gets it to Hayes. Hayes to Bennett. Bennett over the halfway line on the right side. Got Hodgson for company. Bennett keeps the ball. Keeps the ball. O'Gara's here. O'Gara to Flanagan. Flanagan, keep the ball now. Tries to switch play. Great ball by Flanagan. Finds Chambers. Can Chambers put this game to bed right at the end? Chambers!
And that's the 3 points wrapped up.
Well, after not the best of weekends, that's how you finish it. Chambers there with a full stop and the 3 points ball.
The perfect chip over the keeper. And that was devastating. And we've got time to put another sub on now. Well, that's the end of the road for Norton and Stockton this afternoon. They've run out of rail.
Full time here at Broadhurst Park. Two vitally important goals for FC United, and there's trouble off the ball here, and Chelsea Flanagan steps in the way and says, nope, that trouble is not continuing.
It's not going to happen.
And, yeah, it's Betty Hall, the youngest player on the pitch, who's was being picked on there, and Flanagan said, no, you're not doing that. Well, that's full-time, Paul.
I think that was it. I think FC earned the victory ultimately over the 90 minutes. I think the introduction of Chelsea Flanagan at half time was the key to that victory. I think she played a part in both goals, I think I'm right in saying that.
Yep.
And it was the elder statesperson, Kirsty Chambers, who applied the finish both occasions. And I think the second one was a sublime finish. Seeing the keeper slightly off a line and finding the chip to beat her, but that's a very, very important 3 points for FC in their survival bid. And I think the table,
yeah, well, Barnsley were in cup action this afternoon, so they still have a game in hand. They do have better goal difference even with the two goals FC have scored. It's nearly 30 goals better off at the moment. So, but FC United will be on 20 points, which kind of does bring Bradford City into things. I need to just check what score Bradford City was, because they had a tricky game this afternoon against Liverpool Feds.
You'd have thought Liverpool would win that.
Oh, Paul, why did you say that just before I opened the page?
In the title chase.
Oh, they're winning 2-0. Liverpool Feds have, are winning 2-0.
They've done that bit for us.
Yeah. So it does bring Bradford into play. And so FC United up to ninth, outside the relegation places, 2 points behind Bradford City, having played the same amount of games, 3 points ahead of Barnsley. Barnsley do have a game in hand. Barnsley's next game will be next Saturday at home to Anik.
This is
Anik, who've only got 2 points this season.
This is by no means a job done, but I think it's half a job done. I think what FC have done now is they've got 3 more points on the board. We've still got to play Chorley at home, and I think that's another 3 points that's winnable. If we get those 3 points, it might just get us out of the situation we're in.
Yeah, next Sunday here at Broadhurst Park is going to be absolutely huge. Barnsley hosting Anik, and to be honest, this you could describe this as mind games. I don't think we should be expecting much from that game, but FC United hosting Chorley, so it's going to be a big weekend next week, Paul.
Okay, it's going to be another knife edge.
Bradford City, by the way, who we have to say are involved in this, they're away at Durham Sestria, so,
and that's not easy.
No, not easy at all. Well, James, the interim manager, joins us now.
Hello.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
That was so disciplined, yes, at times. You're taking on a team who've scored a lot of goals this season.
Yeah, top goal scorer in the team, Bianca Owens.
Yeah. What a first half. Yeah. Very disciplined. The second half, though, it's all about Chelsea Flanagan. It's all about tenacity across the pitch. Mm-hmm. The goals from Kirsty Chambers turning the clock back. You must be so proud.
Honestly, I just said to the girls then, that's one of the proudest moments, I think, since I've been at FC. Absolutely stunning. We've worked on, we've had 6 sessions to train for Norton, and it was about defensive structure and defensive shape and being disciplined when we haven't got the ball. And you've seen it yourselves today there, like, people, I was screaming at people not even running when they were nowhere near the ball, because everyone knows their job and everyone understood it, and that was the main thing. Everyone understood what we needed to do today.
Paul, I'll bring you in. We've not seen a discipline performance like that all year, really, have we? Where we've been.
There's been a distinct lack of clean sheets, and that's been part of our problem. Yeah. In that we've so many times in this season, we've gone a goal down in the first half and struggled to turn it round, especially at home. And I think today, one of the keys was we got to half time without conceding. And I think that gave us a foot in the door. Mm-hmm. And then bringing Chelsea on in the second half, she was the big difference in the second half, I thought. Yeah. She held it all together going forward. We didn't have that in the first half.
No.
In the second half, she brought players into the game.
Yeah, that was part of the strategy, to be fair. It was, we knew Chelsea's been, she's been suffering, like she's not been well over the last couple of weeks. And it was a case of, do we start her and see how far she goes, or do we be defensively disciplined in the first half and bring her into the game when we know Norton would tire? And I'm so proud of these girls. Like, what they've shown here is, for me, I said before the game, is I feel like this is my first proper game in charge today, because the Durham game, I had one training session to work with them, and it was kind of, we didn't even have great numbers for the training session, so you can't plan anything. Whereas I've had six sessions now, I've had 20 girls there for the training sessions, and you've seen it today. We've got a clean sheet, solid performance, and one of the best performances I've seen all year from us.
Absolutely. Kirsty Chambers' goals.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
like, class is permanent, isn't it? Like, it doesn't matter. We've been using her, and rightly or wrongly, we've been using her because of, like, player issues in a deeper position. And I looked at the stats. I sent the stats. She's our top goal scorer. No one's even near her. I sent the stats into the group, the FC group, and I said, Kirsty needs to be high up the pitch. That's it. Mm-hmm. I don't care how we do it. Kirsty needs to be high up. Kirsty's a big moment player, and she'll score.
Special mention to Lily Smith as well, who I thought had a really good game at left back.
Yeah. Lily's been kind of, for me, it's been a work in progress. It was a toss-up. Me and Tom were discussing at the start of the year, do we sign her or not? And I said, listen, I think we should sign her. I've seen loads of potential in her. And then today, it's come out, like, she's to her work rate. We've got kind of player data where we track people's training sessions, and Lily's top of the stats every week. And I was like, we need someone who can run, and she can run and run and run and run, and she doesn't stop. And for me, she's one of the players of the matches, like, absolutely stunning.
Kelly as well. Dogged determination. Yeah. I mean, it was pressing all over the place, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How important is this 3 points?
I told the girls before we started, is this is our cup run now. This is our quarter final. Chorley's the semi final, and Leeds is the final. We win these three games, it's in our hands. We're in the league, and we stay up. This is our cup run, and the same performance next week against Chorley. That's what they need to expect. We're going to come at them, and we're not going to sit back. Yeah, we're going to be disciplined, and we're going to go out and do our best to win that game.
And obviously, the season finishes with Liverpool Feds, and Liverpool Feds have, I think, based on the Twitter feed, have done us a favour today. They brought Bradford City back in, and that's important as well, because it might not just be us and Barnsley.
No. There's so many teams that can get sucked into this. It's scary. Like, it's for us though. I've tried to. You can game plan it about 10 different times and 5 different teams go down. And for us today, it's let's just focus on our game. Let's win our games. Let's not concede goals. That's the main thing. Stop conceding goals. We're averaging 3.36, I think it is, in the last few games. That's how many goals we're conceding. We need to stop that. We need to knock that on the head, and we need to push forward. And for the rest of the season, that's what I think the fans especially will expect from us.
And speaking of the fans, 160-odd here, plus a dog.
I hear the dog.
Yeah, no, blooming it. Next week,
yes,
we need a big crowd here, don't we?
Yeah, we
really do.
We need the fans to come out. It helps. It honestly helps when the fans are getting behind us. Everyone's, because listen, the last couple of weeks, I'll say it has felt like a little bit of pressure, and there's a few fans getting a bit like, oh, what's going on here? And you have to trust in the process. We're working hard. Every single person is working hard, and you've seen a glimpse of it today. And the next few games, hopefully we'll have this chat next week, and it'll be a 3 or 4 win against Chorley. No.
Do you think we need maximum points to stay up, or do you think we might be possibly?
I think 7
less?
Will see us safe. Well, there's 3 of them down. I think 4 more will see us safe, but I don't want to do that. I want to beat Chorley, beat Leeds, and reassess them.
Yeah.
That's the game plan for me. And I don't care if people can hear this and listen to it. It's not arrogance or anything. That's what we've got to do. We've got to survive.
James, thank you so much for today. It's been not the best of weekends for us from an FC point of view.
No.
This has been brilliant.
Hopefully
so thank you so much. Up. All the best this week in training.
Cheers.
Well, there we go. That's how you finish a weekend. James Mulverhill there, the interim manager of the women's team.
Has that given you back your mojo this weekend?
Yeah.
That result?
It's just been a long weekend, hasn't it, mate?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
You've got something to work with now.
Well, next week, it's another big weekend. Two matches here at Broadhurst Park. South Shields, firstly, for the men's team on Saturday. If you can't make the game, join us from 2:30.
That will be keenly contested. I don't think South Shields like playing us that much, to be honest. So it's going to be an interesting game.
Yeah.
Their away form has not been as good as their home form.
And with regards to the women's team, get down here on Sunday if you can. But if you can't make the game, we'll have full commentary available from 2 o'clock. FC United taking on Chorley next Sunday here at Broaders Park. Oh, it's Bank Holiday.
Bank Holiday.
Got another game.
Yes.
Three games.
Yeah.
Ashton United away at Hurst Cross on Bank Holiday Monday. We'll have full commentary available right here on SC Radio from 2:30 if you can't make that game in person. Any more games?
I think we need to lie down.
Somebody said, are you going to cover the Manchester Premier Cup on Monday? No.
No.
Well, I'm not going to step on 26-0's toes.
No. It's all there. It's their so, baby, isn't it?
Yeah, enjoy yourself, lads.
Yeah.
Good luck to Ashton United and Hyde United tomorrow here at Broaders Park. Pitch is looking good now, incidentally.
If anybody's wondering.
Yeah, but we're going to go now. We've had a lovely time, but I'm going to have a lie down. Thank you, Paul.
Cheers.
Thank you to James. Thank you to you, Armchair Army, for joining us on a Sunday. But we're going to go. We'll see you all very, very soon next Saturday back here at Broaders Park. Bye-bye.
Women's team live there from Sunday afternoon. Next up for the Reds will be that crucial home game against Chorley at Broadhurst Park. Kick-off in Manchester this Sunday will be at 2 p.m. Admission will be pay on the gate, £3 for adults, £2 concessions, £1 for men's team season ticket holders, £1 for under-18s and under-5s free with a paying adult. But remember, if you cannot make this game in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air from 2 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. Well, that's it for this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. A big thank you to everyone involved in FC Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.